7-6-2-5. Speak with pacifier. This is Bulletproof on Rockline. Rock 1-800-344-7625. Pacifier is the self-titled debut album by the New Zealand quartet here in the States anyway, but it's their fifth release overall. And here to join us to explain all of this, the Pacifier members, vocalist and guitarist John Tuga. John, how are you tonight?
I'm good, thank you.
Good. And guitarist Phil Knight, welcome to Rockline to you.
How you going? Thanks.
Doing very well. Carl Kippenberger, who plays bass, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
And Tom Larkin, who not only drums, but sings background vocals as well. Welcome to Rockline to you as well, Tom.
That's right, thank you.
The first thing I want to ask is, why is Bulletproof misspelled, you guys? I'm just kind of curious about that.
Because I think I misspelled it.
It got handed in that way, huh? Any of your previous CDs here in the States, and you're so successful in your homeland, New Zealand. Why it took this long to get to a fifth album, to have an album come out in the U.S.?
I think when we were young, we got signed to a European metal label called Noise Records, which was famous in the 80s for bands like Halloween, Creator, Celtic Frost, and basically we were young and we went, wow, it's up to Europe, and we signed a deal which sort of basically held us up for 4 years, and then four albums together that we couldn't release anything in America. But at the time, we were just going, oh, awesome, we just need to get our record out and tour most young bands do, and they take it out of the front. And we signed a really silly contract, and we did
our first tour in the States and that.
But
I mean, I think the big thing was, it was like that classic case of a young band so eager to actually get on with the job, they just signed whatever was put in front of them. And it, stuffed us up for years.
I think we signed it for a free meal, didn't we?
Yeah.
we were so hungry.
Well, we got invited to dinner, and we ate great food, and then this contract turned up, and I managed to say, it's okay, I've always been beaten.
Sweet.
It's one of those stories.
Well, I hope one of you got kissed because you got blanked, if you know what I'm saying there, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, no, totally. While we couldn't really release anything in America, we spent all our time, like in Australia, New Zealand, all through Europe as well, and just finally we get to come to the home of rock and roll, which has been dream number one for this band for years, and along came Arista, it's pretty weird because it's the home of, Avril Lavigne and Whitney Houston, but they saw us L.A. Reid came down and saw us at CBGB's in New York, which for us, again, was awesome because it's the home of, punk rock,
Sure.
And basically, they blew the doors off and they signed us. So here we are,
Are any of the songs on the previous albums on this debut American CD, did anything
happen? Yeah, there's one track, My Mind Today, which was on our fourth album, General Electric. We actually played that at CBGB's, and we played a couple of songs of our previous stuff just because at the moment that's good that it is the fastest, punkiest track on the whole album.
Yeah, you got to work with a really hot producer, Josh Abraham, who's done Cold Chamber and Crazy Town and Korn and Limp Bizkit and Orgy, and how'd that come about? I know he's a fan of you guys.
When we were doing a little tour through America, what was it, 95?
Yeah, 95.
We didn't have any records in the store, but we managed to hook up with this young guy, Josh Abraham, who at the time was just up and coming, and he remixed a couple of tracks for us, and I remember, we gave him stuff he hadn't heard, like Verve, The Northern Soul, Massive Attack, First Album, and just some British music that we were listening to, and I think he just really dug the band, because we had a different take on the rock thing, I think he got, meanwhile, he got really famous. With Zane and stuff, and once he's in New Zealand called, at the time, She Had, and he gave us a call and said, do you want to make an album? And it was we've just finished a whole bunch of new demos, and he said, well, come over, let's do it. And it was just out of the blue,
One of the things that Pacifier fans say is that you guys are just an absolutely killer in concert. How are you being received here in the States?
Really, really well. I'm really surprised by how well it's going. people just seem to get it straight. They always turn up, you know, just on the dot of time the main act goes on, and over here people are there right from the opening of tours. So it's great to be able to play for big crowds, you know.
I mean, the thing is, like, I think bands that really blew our minds as we were growing up, I mean, we were lucky enough when we were younger to support AC/DC four times, and it's, once you've seen the showmanship of a band like that, you know, you've got to, you know, raise your game, you know, you've got to step up. So basically, you know, like, we've always wanted to be just a great live rock band, you know. I mean, I think, you know, Kiss was the first show I ever saw, and that was an amazing show. And since then, we've seen things like Fugazi and John Spencer Blues Explosion and Radiohead and, you know, and Nirvana, and just stuff that, you know, just blows your mind. And I think once you've seen that, we've always just aspired to be, you know, at least as good as that, you know. Well, I mean, just to try and get there, you know. And I think on top of it all, we're, you know, so when you come off stage, you know, it's worth the wait for you.
We'll let you speak with your fans right now. The first call tonight for Pacifier at 1-800-344-ROCK in Midland, Texas. Greg, you're in Rockline with Pacifier.
Hey, guys. Listen, I was just going to say, we're really glad to have your music here in the U.S., but I really have to know, what do you guys collectively as a band place as priority? Filling in your words with music or filling in your music with words?
For a longer time, Greg, I think we've, you know, always started with music first, and then, you know, lyrics sort of come out of, you know, whatever the mood sort of the song is. And up until this new album, I think lyrics were always secondary for us. I mean, we just wanted to make the biggest wall of noise and wall of rock we could possibly do. But this time around, Josh Abraham, the producer, sort of like went, you know, drawn up a serious par, you know, with the music. I mean, it's all important, dude. Like, this is our lives, you know, and we don't want to waste our time, you know.
There are a lot of personal lyrics on this album by Pacifier. We'll play a song for you right now. This one is titled Comfort Me on Rockline.
Drawn up a serious par, you know, with the music. I mean, it's all important, dude. Like, this is our lives, you know, and we don't want to waste our time, you know.
There are a lot of personal lyrics on this album by Pacifier. We'll play a song for you right now. This one is titled Comfort Me on Rockline. At 1-800-344-ROCK. And coming up next week, Tommy Lee will join us. The following week is Zach Wild, the Lightning signing, and also the WNPE. The following week, Rob Zombie will join us. Coming up, this is the Rockline Encore question. One of your calls, one of your Pacifier. Our number is 1-800-344-ROCK. You're listening to Rockline. Bob Coburn, we're with Pacifier, taking a call toll free at 1-800-344-ROCK. Time for the Rockline Encore question, and let's just go ahead and roll it. Check it out.
Hey, I'm Greg. I'm Art, and we are Everclear, and we have a question for Pacifier. Being from New Zealand, by the way, Greg, what do you want to say to the question, Pacifier?
Kia ora, mate.
Kia ora. And we just wanted to say that we were curious. We wanted to ask you, what influence do you think that being from New Zealand and having different backgrounds and different racial backgrounds, how does that add to your music, and how does that make you different from the rest of the bands out there today?
Definitely, a lot of the music scene. So we don't have this kind of like American sound or a British sound. We also have, like, growing up in New Zealand, you have such a diversity of the people you go to school with. Like, I grew up around reggae and metal, you know, that was like my school diet, and British punk and all that kind of stuff. So that's what kind of like glued this band together, all those different influences.
Yeah, I mean, like, our sound guys would, like, at our shows would play like Gov in between the bands and stuff, you know, growing up with that stuff. But I know dance music was really big down in New Zealand as well, like reggae was big, hip-hop was big, and then, yeah, like the whole thing is the mishmash between the British rock
and American rock.
You know, it's like you get the best of all worlds, really.
That was a really good question, Ian. Thank you for
that. It was terrific.
And I noticed when the guys in Everclear said Kia ora, mate, you guys warmed up in that. That's a Maori greeting, right?
Yeah, no, the correct pronunciation.
Get this.
Okay, welcome to Rockline.
Hi, I was wondering, what's the biggest cultural difference you've seen in America?
Between New Zealand and America?
Yeah.
Yes.
Gotta be. I reckon, well, I mean, straight away, like, New Zealand's like two islands. It's like a Pacific island, basically, and it's like, there's, what, 3.5 million people there?
Yeah.
So, instantly, the population's tiny. Cultural difference being that, what do you reckon, Tom? I just reckon it's just as huge.
Well, I think
America's huge, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest difference is the size, that everything in size, you know, like in New Zealand, you're used to being able to travel between two coasts within 2 hours, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so people are used to living in smaller amount of spaces, but having a lot of nature around them, because you're spread out far and wide on an island. So you don't have this kind of like massive highways and massive buildings. Everything's much smaller. So I think, to me, I think that's the biggest difference culturally.
Everything, I mean, it's still, you know, it's like Western society, you know, it's like still based on the American model, I suppose, you know, but it's definitely a lot more British influence. And also, the native people, you know, like Maoris and this, and also, like, all the, you know, like, this, it's really multicultural.
It's really multicultural, but it's primarily Polynesian, whether that's Maori or Samoan, you know, so it's and you get the languages a lot more. They come up a lot more, like we learn how to speak Maori at school and stuff like that.
It's compulsory for us to learn.
So, you know, I mean, we're not fluent at it or anything, but you're like constantly involved within another culture all the time for everybody in the whole country. Whereas over here, I mean, you know, it's probably the comparable things to Spanish. You know, you get a lot of Spanish speaking up here in America, which is kind of similar, but it's not necessarily like taught in schools or part of your passport. It's a much more kind of like standard thing in New Zealand.
Everything's bigger here, dude.
Everything's just certainly times bigger.
Yeah, I used to date a doctor from New Zealand. Doctor, how many people come here? And she said, that's how many people live in my country.
I thought of one more significant difference, which is we play football without the padding and the helmet.
Yeah, yeah, there's no padding and helmet.
Yeah.
It's called rugby.
Rugby,
as well.
Yeah, you play that nasty football.
This is badass football. Thanks for the call. We'll talk to Carmen in El Paso, Texas. And welcome to Rockline, Carmen.
Yeah, I'm right here.
You're on the air.
Okay, this is Carmen and Omar Castillo from El Paso, and I just wanted to go ahead and ask you, you know, with the pending war and everything that's going on, how is this going to affect your touring?
Well, I tell you what, like, for us, it's like, we're touring through America, like, for the next, what, two, three months solid, really.
Yeah.
How's the war going to figure? I mean, we're not flying anywhere, so we're basically on a bus, and I don't know, like, for us, it's, you know, totally rocks the bus off and makes them feel good, and, you know, I don't know, I mean, it's weird. How do you think?
I don't think the actual war itself is going to affect touring. Stuff like that, but we're on the road most of the time, so it's, you know, just don't see that. I mean, I think, you know, just more delays and stuff. I mean, I don't think it's going to stop any touring, really.
I think people need music more than ever.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
people need more, you know.
You know what's going to affect you guys most immediately? You're in Denver tonight, and it's going to snow, apparently, and it's going to snow for 4 days there, so that may affect you more in an immediate basis than anything. We're going to play a song called Everything. This is Pacifier on Rockline. So, yeah, I mean, in the end, you know, it comes out as this sort of arena rock anthem, you know, and which we would love playing live, because we can do live now.
Here you go. Let's talk to Ron in Kent, Ohio. He wants us to be Pacifier. Here you can, sir.
Later, I'm sitting in the studio, talking about music, and it was purely through
you know, Josh and the mate of his. And in the end, I think, you know, like, we just like, and how he was, you know, he was James, and he was responsible for the whole